Judy.
Thanks, I'm an addict. My name is Judy. I did not expect this many people here for this. And I want to thank the committee for asking me to share. And when they did, I told the women that I sponsored, and they were like, "Oh, great. What a cool topic." And I told my sponsor, and she's like, "Well, you are just going to tell them you're on the bus ride, right? You're not going to tell them you're there yet." And she's not here, so I could lie if I wanted to, but I'm way too nervous for that. And when I first got here, they told me that it was a really good thing if I was nervous because it would keep me honest. And if that's the case, I'm going to be brutally honest right now. I'm from the Ocean City area, and so this convention is real special to me. I got clean here in Ocean City simply because if I didn't, I was going to die. I lived across the bridge all of my life. I got married across the bridge. I got divorced across the bridge. I had my daughter across the bridge, and I used across the bridge. And at the end, when I got here, it was because there was nowhere else for me to go. And one of the blessings of this program to me was when you all told me to keep coming back, because nobody had ever told me in a really long time to come back anywhere. And so I was afraid to go back across the bridge, excuse me, for a lot of reasons. I got here, I was not serene. I had no clue what serenity was. My life was insane, full of chaos, full of denial. All of the things that together take us to our knees. And for me, my bottom was as bad as it had to be. I had been married for 13 years. I had used with that man well before my marriage. And I like to say that that's why I became an addict, because of him. But if the truth be told, it wasn't because of him. And I know that my addict behavior started way before I ever picked up. You know, my family tells stories. I was the middle child. Check. That was another reason. But stories of when I was little, and my mom would give us all our little baths and put us in our little Polly Flinder dresses, and we would sit on the front porch and wait for my dad to come home from work, and my mother would say, "Now just sit there for 5 minutes. Daddy will be home, you'll see him coming up the street." And she would put me on the front porch with my sisters, go back in the house. I was off the porch, around the side of the house, and in the sandbox. Okay? And my sisters would yell, "Mommy, Sissy's in the sandbox." You know? And my mother would come out, and she'd crack my ass, and she'd bring me around front, and she'd put me back down on the porch, and she'd go back in the house, and I was up and off the porch and in the back. And for me, that was like the insanity. Doing the same things over and over again, expecting different results. You know, for my mother and for myself. She kept putting me on the porch, and I kept running around the back. You know, and that went on for a lot of years. You know, and my basic text tells me that this is more than a disease of using drugs. And if that were the case, I could have put the drugs down, and I wouldn't need Narcotics Anonymous. But I need Narcotics Anonymous, I need you people, and I need the 12 steps. And when I do all of that, I find some semblance of serenity in my life. You know, and I like the topic because it says achieving serenity. It did not say having achieved serenity in recovery. You know, but my life is not a merry-go-round today. You know, I'm real busy. I work hard. I'm a single parent. I do a lot of stuff. But for me, the achieving serenity, I don't panic quite as quickly as I used to, and I don't get caught up in the chaos quite as quickly as I used to. And it used to be, for me, and everything that I say is just what's worked for me since I got here. It didn't take anything to set me off. You know, we're not wired quite right. I do believe that, you know. We are different. We are different than the average bear, you know. I'm driving down the road, and you cut me off, right? As a rule, the average person lets it roll off their back. We want to catch up to you at the light, run you off the road, get you out of the car, and tell you what you just did. And as long as you're in front of me, I'm going to keep trying to catch up with you. And when I do that, I have no serenity in my life, you know. And I was driving down the road the other day, and I must not have been paying real close attention to what I was doing, and I didn't put my blinker on enough ahead of time. And there was this old lady behind me. Now, you have to understand, I live down here, and in the off season, there's a lot of that, and a lot of retirees, and they don't drive real well all the time, you know. But I was driving like one, and I made a little turn, and this guy's bearing down, and he's doing, and giving me the finger, and I was like, oh, that used to be me, you know. I used to do that today. And I'm not going to tell you that if you cut me off when I leave here, I'm going to wave and blow you a kiss. That isn't going to happen. But I probably won't hunt you down at the next red light. And for me, that's achieving serenity. You know, for me, achieving serenity meant that I had to really work on patience. And I believe that every time I ask for patience, God gives me a line. It's as simple as that, you know, and it's a real long one. And I've learned to accept that in my life. And when I accept, I can practice serenity. But it's a real circle for me, you know. Patience brings me serenity, brings me acceptance, brings me patience, brings me serenity. And sometimes I hate it, you know. And I remember when I first got here and they told me that I had to practice acceptance. And I thought that meant I had to like what was going on. Okay? And if I didn't like it, how in the world was I going to be serene with it? That was so bizarre to me, you know. What do you mean? I don't like what you're doing to me. You know, I don't like what's happening to me. And they told me that I didn't have to like it to accept it. And that was like a light bulb going off in this girl's head, I got to tell you. I mean, what a weight when I didn't have to like everything that was going on. Because, see, I grew up in the type of family where you liked everything that went on. And if you didn't, you didn't say, I don't like what's going on. And I don't fault my parents for that. They did the best they could with what they had, you know. But you didn't say, you hurt my feelings. That you just didn't do that. You'd go up to your room maybe and say, you hurt my feelings, you know. But if I said to my mother, you hurt my feelings, oh well. You know, that was just the way it was. And you stuffed and you hid everything. And then I wonder why there was no serenity in my life. Why I was chasing that brass ring on the merry-go-round. Trying to find what I didn't know I had inside of me all along. And for me, what I get today comes strictly from God. My peace, my serenity, my ability to accept what is happening on a daily basis. In the dark, because I can keep talking in the dark, folks. I got to tell you. My sponsee's up here saying, yes, you can. But for me, if my strength comes from God and my serenity and my peace comes from God, and God is my higher power, and that's my disclaimer, so I don't have to keep saying that every time I say God, okay, then you can't take that from me. See, if my power and my serenity and my energy comes from me, because this is all about me, you see, you know. Self-centeredness is the core of our disease. And when I get rid of that and I talk to God, And I do. I talk to him. I try to pray in the morning and I try to pray at night. And I got to say that because it's an honest program. And I don't hit my knees every morning and every night. But I talk to God from the time I get up until I go to bed. And as long as I'm doing that, you can't take it from me. No matter what you do to me. Because He's filling me up.
Where are you going somewhere?
You know? And you know, I hear people say in here, and I got to say this, that there is a spiritual side to this program, and I beg to differ. This is a spiritual program. And if you don't believe me, you go to page 2 of the Just for Today book, and it says Narcotics Anonymous is a program to connect powerless addicts with a power greater than themselves. And that says it for me. You know, so what I'm saying to you is just coming from God. And when I was sitting up here and I was watching y'all come in, and I'm thinking, you know, we can shut the doors at any time now. You know? And I'd have been real happy if it was just you 5-6 rows over there. You know? But what I am is what I am. And it doesn't matter if there were 3 of you in here or 3,000. Well, maybe if there's 3,000 of you in here. Okay? But for me, it's still the same. My story is my story. My peace and my serenity are mine. You know, I'll give you anything I got because I know I'm getting it back from God. You know? So, hey, you got trouble finding a higher power? I'll lend you mine. You know? Use mine till you can find your own. You know, because when you get that, even if you just get it for a minute, and you know, if there's anybody in here that's new and you're looking at me like I got 2 heads, just keep coming back, because it will make sense one day. Because I didn't have a clue what you all were talking about when I got here. You know? I cried every time you looked at me. Okay? And don't even be nice to me. Okay? Because then I was no more good. You know? But what I was willing to do whatever you told me to do, and I may not have believed it, but I believed that you believed it. And that was enough for me when I got here. You know? So if you're standing in here or sitting in here and you're thinking that maybe you don't know your higher power yet, you will. Because He's in here. Or she. Whatever. It's inside of you. And when you let go of the chaos and you let go of the denial of the chaos, because, see, I didn't want to admit there was any chaos in my life. You know, they told me I had to be powerless to become powerful. And I just didn't get it. But I kept coming back. Because you believed it. You know? And you guys weren't crying every time somebody looked at you. You know? And your feelings weren't getting hurt quite as much. And you didn't think that every time somebody said something, they were talking about you. You know? And I wanted some of that because self-centeredism, which is the core of me, which is why I used every day, which is why I woke up in the morning and before my feet hit the floor and I even looked to see what time it was, I was thinking about getting high. You know? And that is not about serenity and that is not about God. You know, but I didn't know that. I thought I would die an active addict. You know? And if I had an hour, I'd tell you my whole story. But I'm not here to do a fist step. And if there's details, I'll be happy to talk to anybody that wants to talk after the meeting. Suffice it to say, I used and I used and I died inside. And it says in our basic text that we cannot have a relationship with a higher power if we're using. We can't. And I didn't know that out there. I thought, I mean, I went to church, you know, high, but I went, you know, I did. And if I wasn't, I was coming up, but I had to go to church, see, you know. And today I still go to church, but that's different than what I do in here. That's my expression, my outward expression. And that works for me. Not everybody. Doesn't matter. Doesn't have to be. You know, for me, when I come in here and I feel No matter if anybody gets anything out of this or not from me, it really doesn't matter, because I'm not going to pick up today. You know, this is going to keep me clean one more day. You know, and when I lay my head down at night and I listen to this tape again, and I'll be going through it saying, oh my God, I can't believe I said that. You know, that's okay. Because service, that keeps me, you know, the insanity of the active addict and the newcomer, that'll calm me down in a heartbeat. You know, and I got to tell you a little story that happened last night, because I need to share this kind of stuff. We got back to the room, and I'm staying with three other people, and we're all getting ready for bed, and one of the girls is in the other bed, and she pulls out a cigarette pack that was under the bedspread. She's like, whose are these? Nobody smokes this brand. And we opened it up, and there was a bag of weed in there. Whoa! You know? Hello. Okay. Take a deep breath, you know. And we're all like, are you sure? Now, I got to tell you, it didn't go to, shall we try it and see? Now, I was working some major serenity there. I mean, we're talking deep breaths, you know. Yeah, it's real, you know. In the bathroom, down the toilet, one of the other girls comes in, hadn't been in there yet. We tell her, she's like, uh-uh. No way. Yeah-huh. Now, I don't know if the maid was coming back. You know, was this a test? You know, but the bottom line is that we did what we were taught to do in here. You know, and I didn't go to sleep thinking about that weed. You know, and to be honest with you, a little while ago, one of the girls said, have you told anybody? Did you tell anybody? Because I've been telling this one and he's been telling that one. And I said, you know what? I hadn't shared it with anybody, because it was gone that quick. Now, if that ain't serenity and freedom from active addiction, I don't know what is. You know, so I'm going to pat myself on the back right now. You know? But I learned that in here. You know, you all told me how to get what you had. And I would have done anything to get serenity for 1 minute, much less day, week, month, because I didn't even know what it was. You know, and I work with newcomers regularly, you know, and they'll say to me, you know, I had a piece of that today. I had a little bit of it, and I want some more, you know? And that was my using behavior. I want more. So when I found that I could get that in here, you know, and it would go from the top to my toes, you know? We talk about warm fuzzies. That's my serenity. And my serenity is not freaking out, even though I got to admit I was a little nervous when y'all kept coming in here. You know, because my message is from God. And if I practice my patience, I'll get my serenity. I'll get my acceptance. I'll get my patience. I'll get my serenity. It goes around and around and around. You know, serenity to accept the things I cannot change. What a concept. I can't change everything. I didn't know that. You know, powerlessness, I didn't know that. And on the flip side of that, today, it really doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter. There are times where I have to say that over and over again. It doesn't matter. Does it affect me in my day-to-day existence? 9 times out of 10, it doesn't. You know, and I can let it go. You know, and all of that stuff, all of those sayings, all of those little things we see on the wall that we hate when we're newcomers. This too will pass. Man, I hated that. But I'm in it now, thank you. I don't want it to pass. You know, the chaos. I lived for chaos. And when I got here and they told me, you know, that I could let the chaos go and live in the quiet, scared me to death. because that was nothingness to me. And I didn't want nothingness, because nothingness meant I had to look at me. See, and as long as I was all caught up in that stuff, I didn't have to look at me. Because, you see, I didn't get here saying, you know, I think I smoked enough crack. And, you know, I just think maybe I need to work on being a better mother. And I think I'll go to Narcotics Anonymous, you know. And just kind of like, get it all back together. No way. You know, that's not where I was. You know, I was lost. I had a hole inside of me the size of a Mack truck. And I didn't even know it. You know, I didn't know what I was missing until I got here and I saw you people. Because everything that I have learned, everything that I'm saying, I guarantee you I've heard it somewhere else. This is not original stuff. You know, either that or God's given me this divine wisdom, and I really don't think he's going to do that today. You know, because I heard it from you people. You know, if you do what we do, you will have what we have. And I wanted that so bad. And I didn't even know what it was. You know, and now today, I don't need excitement. I like it. I love conventions. But y'all are going home tomorrow, and I'm going back to my little home group with 8 members, you know, down here on the Eastern Shore. You know, and summertime, some of you will come back, and some of you won't, and that's okay. You know, and we'll wait till next year. And I'm good with that today. I'm good with get up, go to work, go to a meeting, go home, do some laundry, wipe some noses, and go to bed. That's serenity to me, you know. But when I got here and you said, give it up. Give up the copping, give up the life, give up the con, steal, manipulate, give up all of that, and be, go to work, go to a meeting, go get gas, run to the shore, you know, run to the store, get a few groceries, and I'm like, you know, that's just not living. Where's the fun? You know, well, the fun is in here. The fun is in Narcotics Anonymous, and the fun is staying close to God. Working with newcomers, practicing the steps, getting a home group, you know. They said do 90 meetings in 90 days. I did 216 because I was afraid you would tell me to go if I missed one, you know. So I figured I better double up. I kept a little list in case somebody was going to ask me, how many meetings you go to? Here you go, list right here, you know. You know, I wasn't court ordered. I was me ordered. I was fear ordered, you know. And I'm not like that today. But I'll tell you, if you want to know how many meetings I've been to this week, you know, I don't mind. I have a sponsor, and I sponsor people. And I stay in Narcotics Anonymous. I got in bed with Narcotics Anonymous. I didn't stand on the outside looking in saying, gee, maybe, you know, well, I'll do a little bit of this, do a bit. I got in bed with Narcotics Anonymous because if you are in the center, you will not fall off. They told me that, and I did it, you know. And I have a little bit of fear today. And my fear is based on the fact that the basic text tells me if I do these things, I will not use. And I fear that if I stop doing them, I'll get out of bed with NA, you know. And I am not willing to take that chance today because I like this too much. You know, and if there's anybody here that's thinking, well, you know, I'm doing a convention, I'm probably way off the topic, but it's all about serenity because it's all about the program. You know, and they told me, you keep going to meetings and you won't stop going to meetings when you get a little bit of clean time. Now, Narcotics Anonymous promised me freedom from active addiction and a new way of life. And part of that new way of life for me is staying responsible to Narcotics Anonymous. So I still go to 3 and 4 meetings a week, you know, because I'm not better yet. And the book says separation from the atmosphere of recovery and the spirit of service to others slows our spiritual growth. And I am not willing to take that chance today because my spiritual growth gives me my serenity and I want more. Every day, I want more. And if you don't believe me, try it for a month and see if you don't feel better. when it's over. And if you don't, the chaos is out there. The insanity is out there. You know, roll on. And if you don't die, you might make it back in. Because we say unconditional love and keep coming back. But we forget that we could die in between. And I am not willing to take that chance today. You know, a grateful addict will not use. And if I'm grateful, I gotta have some serenity. It just stands to reason. You know? So, you know, if you're wondering if this is for you, go back, get a home group when you get home, get a sponsor, go to some meetings when you get home, and see if you can't get a little bit of the people that, what they got. You know? Because you can tell. You know, we're not miserable people as a rule, you know. And I never, ever thought I could really be happy until I found Narcotics Anonymous, you know. And I worked the steps with a sponsor, and I sponsor other women, you know. And if my phone rings at 3 a.m., you might have to wait a couple minutes while I get myself together, but as long as you're not high, I'll talk to you. You know, and if you're high, you call me when you're done, and I'll talk to you. And that's for me. And that's what works for me today. You know, and what works is the basics. You know, get off the merry-go-round if you're on it. And if anybody's doing the scavenger hunt, that is one of the clues, because I did the scavenger hunt with some other addicts. So I'll just tell you that. Y'all can get one answer out of it. Because the merry-go-round can slow down. You know, and you can come into a life free from active addiction and find a new way of life. You know, it worked for however many people are in here. If you're clean today, you're a miracle, and you got a little serenity. And if you keep coming back one day at a time, it's beyond your wildest dreams. You know, and I just want to say, when I got here, I showed you everything I was thinking, everything I was feeling. You knew what was going on with me by looking at my face. And that was a brand new way of life for me, for somebody who had hidden everything on the inside. And now I can walk into a meeting and thank God you people know what's going on with me. So if you're feeling something, don't stuff it. Show it. Show it early. Show it often. Let people in, so you can find out who you are inside. And it's because you allowed me to do that. You allowed me to cry. You allowed me to laugh. You held me. You loved me in spite of myself. That I've been able to do what I've been able to do in Narcotics Anonymous, and that is to achieve serenity on a daily basis based on my spiritual connection with my higher power, whom I choose to call God. Thank you for letting me share.
And now I'd like to introduce our second speaker, Nate.
Nate.
I'm an addict. My name is Nate.
Nate.
It is good to be here, and I'd like to thank the convention people for asking me. Linda asked me to participate, and I wanted to participate on the program, you know, helping getting speakers, you know, but it turned out this way. I remember I used to come, and I said, nah, maybe one day I'll be up there, but I never knew it was going to come so quick. For this topic, I don't know, I was out walking on the out on the beach, and I was picking up shells for my nieces and nephews, and I was just thinking, and what I was thinking about a couple of days ago, I was walking up the sidewalk I used to walk up, and just a few 24 hours ago, that sidewalk, I remember walking down it. And I wasn't looking the way I'm looking, and I wasn't feeling the way I was feeling. My stomach was tight, my nose was running, and I would throw up this green stuff every 2 feet. And it would be like a little bit of it coming out of me. And I would like push all my stomach up. And the few days ago, it was like I was walking and I was just happy. Just happy to be walking. Just happy that I ain't got to shoot no dope today. It's something special about the fact that I do not have to use. It's just something real special about that for me. At the end, the dope stopped working. It stopped. When I got to Narcotics Anonymous, I was hopeless. I was helpless. And another thing, right before I got to Narcotics Anonymous, what was real evident to me is that it was going to be a funeral, Nate, and you're going to be the star of the show. And the thing about that is that I could see it coming, and I knew if I could stop using that I had a chance, but I could not stop using. I seen it. I couldn't stop. I could not stop using. I got to Narcotics Anonymous through the grace. What happened when I got here? The first meeting I went to was a step meeting. In this particular meeting, I met four guys. It was the chairperson of this meeting, and this person was leading the meeting, and the next week, the chairperson had an anniversary, and his sponsor was sharing at his anniversary. Now, I didn't even know, this has been almost 7 years ago. These people were very instrumental in my life. His sponsor turns out to be my sponsor's sponsor. And the guy that was chairing the first meeting was the chairperson's sponsor, was his sponsor. And I interact with these people. What I found in the rooms was the hope that it talks about. I was scared. I didn't know if I could stop using, even though a few months had went by because I was locked up and was in treatment. It was just, what do you do when you don't have to think about going to get it? I mean, what do you do? I was not used to what I was feeling when I had to think about going to use. So I was scared to death. That was one reason that I kept coming. The second reason was that y'all believed that I could recover. Y'all said, Nate, you don't have to believe. We believe. We'll keep believing until you come to believe. We want you to do is to just keep coming. Just keep coming. And that's what I did. I kept coming, I kept coming, and I kept coming. Then it clicked to me. And in the readings, it says, if you want what we have to offer and are willing to make the effort to get it, then these are the steps that what you see will come possible for you. And I went and I got a sponsor. But before I got a sponsor, I need to share this. I was coming to meetings, was going to the dances and stuff. I began to feel better. Physically, I hurt and I ate for 3 years. So I began to feel a little better and a little better. And what happened was I saw this woman that I saw when I was out there, but I was so busy doing what I had to do that I didn't have time. Well, the disease, the addiction wouldn't let me have time to do anything anyway. So, but in my mind, you know, I was wishing that I could do some things. So since I got to Narcotics Anonymous, y'all gave me the opportunity to do some things. So when I saw her, I pursued her. And what happened for me is that on three different occasions, I used to holler at her, and she used to ask me. She was using. Let me make that clear. Yeah. She used to ask me for some money. I gave it to her, and she said she would come down, stand at my mother's. She said she'd be down. She ain't come down. I see her again. You know, I say, what happened? She said, oh, I don't know. She give me some story. Then she said, give me some money. I give her some money. She said she'd come down. I did this three times. It's something dumb. I said, you can't keep doing that. You just can't keep doing that. So what happened was one Sunday I was down in my mother's basement and a knock on the door came and it was her. She wanted some money again. I said, yeah, but you're down, right? I got some money. Now, it tells us about our defects, and it also tells us how powerful they are. But, you know, telling me that is one thing, but I soon seen how powerful it was. Because what happened, I wound up in a McDonald's parking lot with her, cooking up some dope. She couldn't even hit herself. And I wanted her so bad that I said, give me that. And I went on and I hit her. And when I hit her, I said, well, because she saved half of it. I said, I might as well go myself. She said, nah, Nate, you doing too good. You don't need this stuff. You know, that was the grace. What I'm simply saying is that I do not have control of my life. I may think I do, but I don't. And what happened was, during this time, my father was sick. My father and I lived in the same house ever since I was born, you know. And I remember young, we were real close, played and stuff. And when I started using, I started isolating from the family, from the world. Most of all, I started isolating from myself. And this went on for a long time. So now that I got here and he was dying, and I'm talking about he was withering away, and I used to see him sitting on the couch. And he would be sitting and he'd be like this, and he'd be, all his energy and effort just to take in one little breath. And I used to look at him. I just had to go on down the steps. And what was going on inside of me was this feeling of powerlessness that I've never felt before. I wanted so badly to just hold my father and tell him, Daddy, I love you, and please forgive me for all the stuff I done. I wanted so badly to do that. I couldn't do it. We talk about we don't know what might make us use. I'm telling you, I know. If something didn't happen, if I didn't do something, I was going to have my thumb in my mouth because I could not stand what was happening inside of me. I couldn't stand it. He went to the hospital, and I get on this bus and go past the hospital. I didn't have it in me to just reach up and pull the thing and stop the bus to get off the hospital because the bus stop was right there. I wanted to do it, but I didn't have it in me to do it. Newcomer, it's so important to give yourself a chance. Come to meetings because you're going to hear stuff. You're going to hear stuff. And you ain't got to worry about storing it. It's going to be stored. Yeah. And what's going to happen is, when the time comes, God is going to bring it back up. And what happened for me is I went to a meeting. And at this meeting, I was telling you about the guy that chaired this meeting that at the first meeting I went. He was speaking at an anniversary. And he was sharing how he had to go to Ohio. His father was dying to let him off the hook. I was sitting in the back of the meeting. A guy that was in treatment with me, because I'm smiling all the time. A guy that was in treatment with me, he said, what's wrong? And I was smiling. I said, man, ain't nothing. He said, nah, Nate, what's wrong? Yeah. It's humility that's going to allow God to do his work. If I don't have it, ain't nothing happening. I found that out. What I had to do was to tell him what was going on. And in me becoming humble, somehow I got enough strength to walk up to this guy at the end of the meeting and ask him for some help. That took almost everything I had. But what I found out is that once I took that first step and made a decision, I kind of like floated up there to him. And I asked this guy for help. And he told me, Nate, pray before you pull the cord. And that's what I did. And I went up in the hospital, and I sat down on my father's bed, and he raised up, and he seen me, and he smiled. And what he told me was, son, whatever you are doing, please keep on doing what you're doing. Say, the only thing that I ask of you is that you look out for your mother. And with that, we hugged and kissed, and I went on. And I went and got with my sponsor. I got a network of people, right? They was already doing this. And I went and I got with the sponsor, and he was the guy to guide me through these 24 principles. And it's this topic, achieving serenity. What I found out is that, and we talk about being sick and tired of being sick and tired, and that pain is a motivator. Along the line, I got into another relationship, and it was nice and it was good, but this person had to move on with her life. And in this little moment, in this little episode here, what happened for me is that I found out that I just could not surrender. I could not give up of this fear. I didn't know I had abandonment issues, if you want to call it that. And what I did was to allow myself to suffer for 15 months, maybe a little longer than that, because I refused to accept what was going on. Now, what happened in the pain that I was experiencing is that for me, I will still in here today use all angles. I won't let go. I will not let go. I will hold on and hold on and hold on until my energy level is just gone all the way down, and the only thing there is to do is to let go. It ain't so much because I want to let go. It's because that's the only thing that's left to do. My sponsor points out to me, ego will kill you. I ain't think I had no ego. I ain't think I had that. But I found out that I had it. And that was the thing. How dare you do this to me? You know, now, my pride wouldn't let me come out in the street with it. I'd be in my house with it. And Lord, when it was time to go to bed, after I would come in from the meetings and I would sit down, when I get on in the bed, and you hear I don't really talk about you gotta roll. I understood exactly what she was saying. Because the pain was so acute within me. And what I found out in all that is that hole was still there. And I was still looking for something else to fill it. And the reason why I'm sharing like this is because in achieving serenity, I found out that I put myself through a lot of stuff. I had the information. I had it. I knew what to do. But there was no humility with it. There was no humility, so therefore I couldn't reach out and call on or even seek a faith that could meet any emergency. I couldn't do it. So I had to allow myself to be whipped I have to drag myself through the stick of rye and have my sponsors pluck them out. Okay. I had to do that. I started to get a little tired of that. I went to a meeting, I don't know, about 3-4 months ago, and the guy was talking about this relationship thing. He had been in one. He'd been around here for a while. And he said, it's complete. I said, damn, it's complete. I said, God, I done put myself for this for. By this time, it's like 17, 18 months. You know, and it was complete. And that was the thing. It's complete. The acceptance. Acceptance, it don't like come like, all right, it's over with, I accept. It came from me through dragging myself through the stick of rocks. You know? And I said, okay, you just get tired. I just got tired. And I'm getting older. I'm getting older and I don't have the energy that I used to have. And on the inside, you know what I'm saying? On the inside, I found out that once I accepted it, that it was all right. Mm-hmm. I couldn't stand the fact that I would walk past her. And she used to work at a job that I had to go past. When I walked past that job, I just, damn, why did you go the other way? Why did she go the other way, man? Why you gotta keep, you know? So all of those little things contribute. It just contribute, you know, into me kind of trying to get some clarity here. Get some clarity. Another thing that happened, just happening, we buried a member of Narcotics Anonymous about 9 days ago. And she got away clean, you know? It's something, if you got a problem with anything, if you got a problem with anything in here, anything, your sponsor, people ain't doing, you don't like somebody, all you got to do is go to a graveyard, go up in there, and look down in the hole that they getting ready to put a body down in. Just look. And I guarantee you that hole will talk to you. It'll talk to you. And whatever problem you have, it'll just... There you go. I ain't just telling you. I done did it. And it worked. It puts more clarity. Judy was talking about this is a life or death thing. It's life or death. You know. But it's a joy to be able to breathe today. You know, it's a joy to be able to do anything. I'm talking about brushing your teeth. Because when I use, I don't think about brushing my teeth. I think about using. And what I'm talking about now is now I can brush my teeth and I don't have that constant obsession, them thoughts. I gotta go. That in itself will wear you down. So I appreciate the fact that I'm here. My sponsor says, now that you're here, and now that you've done this, and now that you are incorporating this way of life, and you're trying to the best of your ability to do what it says to do, you have to be available. It's your time now. You've got to be available. Now, I'm bringing this up because a guy that I sponsor, he works down the street from me. I just found that out. And he wanted to get with me And I seen him at a dance over St. Louis. And we, yeah. Call me when you get to work. Tell me when you get off. I ain't doing no work now. Tell me when you get off. And come on, get with me. And we'll go ahead with that. You know? So, that's supposed to be Monday. So when Monday come, I'm walking home. I don't know. I was walking home from somewhere. And I look. I seen these jeans. And I was like two blocks away. And I spotted it. I said, them jeans look for me. I can walk. Yeah, I ain't got no car. I got to walk. So I can walk. You know what I'm saying? I can walk. And before this woman got about, I don't know, I was up on her. I said, yeah, that is you. I thought that was you. Where you going? I'm going in the Rite Aid. I said, well, come on up to the apartment when you finish. And I go on up to the apartment. And when I get off to the apartment, the phone rang. I got a call ID, too. That's what I got it for, check it out. And I was checking it out. And I say, man, what is this? So I went on to answer the phone. It was responsive. I ain't say nothing. I let him talk. So since he wasn't saying nothing about Monday, I wasn't going to say nothing about Monday. Because I had me some business. So, we arranged it for Wednesday. All right. If you stay around here, you're going to develop a conscience. Trust me.
Yeah.
So, it's for Wednesday. Knock, come on the door. Come on in. All right. We in it. I couldn't go on. I swear, I couldn't go on. I was trying to. I had to get up and pick up the phone and call him. Thank God he was there. That's when the clarity set in. I told him, man, come on down here. I said, look, you got to go. You got to go. What happened was that hole in the ground came to view. I like everything that has happened for me here in Narcotics Anonymous, you beautiful people. You know, the things that has happened in my life. But bottom line, I do what I do in order to stay alive myself. And when the hole was review, you know, the concert and the whole, I called them and we came down and we went on the first step and more clarity came in. And I used to hear y'all talk about when y'all was sponsor people, how y'all were the ones that was getting the help. It was just so clear to me. It was so clear to me that you need to do this. You need to be available. You need to cut away that self-centeredness that's going to kill you. And that's the clarity that I get. And keep coming back. And keep coming back. And trying to live this program. I was down at my mother's. And my father's name is the same as mine. My father's name is the same as mine, right? And it has some milk. And it was from this, it was a bill for the rent. But that whoever's getting the money is another company. And they had the total amount of money that she owed. My mother's house been paid for, but my father took out another mortgage on it. And he died, and the insurance. Anyway, it was $32,000, right? So this is what the program has done for me. Something went on inside of me, and I went down
to my mother, and we sat down, and I'm getting ready to start another job. And I said, Mom, you don't have to worry about this no more. And what happened is that I reflect back, and I felt again what the addiction, me and this addiction, has took this woman through, and how she never, ever turned her back on me. It's your time, Nate, to step to the plate. I told her, don't worry about it. I got this one here. And I'm saying this with confidence because the Creator, and here go the clarity, says you're going to be all right with it. Go ahead and step with it. I got it. I know it. I ain't worried about it. I ain't worried about it. Trust me. I'm going to go and do that. And the thing about it is that now I have an opportunity on this amends process thing to not only do what I can while my mother, you know, she's like 73, can enjoy the rest of her life and don't have those worries. I can contribute in a positive way. And not only that, I can do other things in that house for the grandbabies and the great nieces and nephews. This is where I'm thinking about. I ain't thinking about me in the house. I got a partner. Efficiency. That's all I need. You know? But what I'm thinking about is other people. Y'all told me in that eighth and ninth step, what's going to happen, Nate, is that now it ain't so much as getting harmony with you and your God. It's about getting harmony with you in the world. Things outside of yourself. And to be able to help my mother gives me a great joy. Yes. Just to be able to think those thoughts of helping her, it gives me a whole lot of joy. And I owe that to Narcotics Anonymous. I owe that to y'all, because when I came to the door, what y'all said was welcome. Y'all hugged me when I was scared. Y'all hugged me when I was trying like I wasn't scared, but I was scared. Y'all knew I was scared, and y'all hugged me and said, it's all right, and we know where you at. You know what I'm saying? Y'all make me feel a part of. And y'all also did, as I continue to come to meetings, y'all put me in service. Y'all elected me to be a DSR, a chairperson. I had to go out to meetings. What I'm simply saying is that it's with y'all that hope is always there. It's with you people. And I keep coming. I keep coming regardless of what happened. I'm going to say this and cut it off. April the 8th, 1994. If anybody been here, y'all know that was the convention. Shelter from the Storm. April the 8th, 1994, I was at a meeting. It was on a Friday. I left and I went home and I went up in the bedroom. My father was laying there. I went back downstairs in the basement. About 30 minutes later, this noise came up the driveway. I looked out the driveway and it was a hearse. I said, damn, my father's dead. And when I went back up there and I looked at him again, his face had been shrunken in when he was going through his illness alive. His face was full. His face was vivid and bright. And I knew he had made peace with God. I said, Lord, have mercy. I see it. Don't nobody have to tell me. I know I witnessed it. And that's some more clarity. And that's for the newcomer. When you come in here and you see the fullness and the vividness of the people in here, ain't nobody got to tell you. Just look around. Just look around. It's going to be all right.
Still a meeting going on.
Special thanks to Judy and Nate for sharing a real good meeting. Could someone read Just for Today?
Hey! Don't put me back on that microphone. Speak up.
Hello, fam. My name is Evan. I'm an addict.
All right.
First, I'd like to thank my higher power for opening up the gates of hell so I can see how y'all sober people live. That's for me. Just for today. Tell yourself, just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery. Living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who's believed in me, who wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program. I will try to follow it to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. My life, just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new association. People who are not using and who have found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear. Just for today.
Let's make a circle.
Yeah, as soon as we're done, I will. Stay for the close.
Come on, circle up.
Thank you for letting me share.
Moment of silence. Serenity prayer. God.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Keep coming back. It works if you live it. It won't if you don't. Go!
Don't you just suppose that this rolled off at the end of the convention? I don't think you do it after a meet.
It just did.
I know.
Yes, ma'am.
But just
okay.
You know,
you got it.
Come to our house.
No, I don't. Yeah, I'm at me.
We do it after every meet where I'm from. My back room, we do it after every meet.
Like, I know after a meeting, but after the convention, we close at the big meeting on Sunday.
Oh, good, by the case.
I won this morning, we did.
But you know, I forget what I said. You know, I mean, I divide.
You need that sign?
I know I've been talking for an hour. Oh, good. That's it. It was all God's prayer. Hey, that's my prayer. God, let my words be your words. I'm going to take you home personally. All right. We're going to go walk on the beach. My home trip is hugely exhausting. Yeah, it was. I had my home trip was here for 2.5, almost 3 years now. But I went to work in the treatment field, and I worked 3 nights a week. So, in Boston, yeah, at White Flint, in South Beach. So, why?